for members only. Golf Smarter number 459, published on October 21, 2014.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
How to Play Uphill, Downhill, and Side Hill Lies. Part 2 with Stephen Snyder.
This is Golf Smarter.
All right, now let's... Okay, so we talked about equipment. We talked about playing the correct tees.
Okay.
Now let's get back to those uneven lies.
Uphill, and, downhill, side hill lies. Yeah. Some of them more difficult than others. I think the biggest basic thing that everybody needs to think about when you're on a hilly golf course is getting your body level to the slope that you're trying to play. For instance, your spine angle, where that is and being perpendicular to the ground. So uphill lies, you're going to tilt your body and get your spine angle matched up to the ground. Downhill lies, you have to go the other direction and try to actually get your right side a little bit higher so your club can swing down the slope. So there is a definite knack to the side hill lies and the up and downhill lies, even from short game to a fairway wood to a long iron.
So you want to make sure that your body is perpendicular to the ground,
right?
Not to perpendicular to gravity.
Right.
Right? So you're not like trying to go, you know, be straight, even though the ground is at an angle, and you want to be up and down as far as gravity is concerned.
Right. The spine angle to the ground has to be at a 90-degree angle. Mm-hmm. So if you've got an uphill lie, you want the club to be able to swing up the slope mm-hmm. and not swing into the slope.
And then what about ball flight coming off of a shot where the ball is, let's say, above your feet?
Okay, so you've got a ball that's going to go up the hill a little bit. It naturally adds more loft to your club, so you need to club up. If it's a 5-iron shot, maybe you need a 4-iron. You need something that's going to have a little flatter face because your launch angle is going to be higher. And then vice versa, if you're going down the slope, you need something with more loft. And the hardest shot to hit off of a downhill slope is to try to take a fairway wood and try to get it airborne, mm-hmm. where most people would be better off if they took that hybrid with 23 degrees of loft and swing down the slope and get the ball airborne. It's probably going to come off like a 3-wood.
Right. Number 8 at Indian Valley, par 3, all uphill.
Hardest hole on the golf course.
The death of me. It's got a narrow green going left to right, so when you're looking at it, it's the width of the green. It's not very deep, and it's all uphill to the green, and it's the green is on top of the hill, and if you even land on the green, chances are you're going to bounce off and go back down the hill.
Very difficult shot.
Very difficult shot to get the ball to stay on the green. Playing from the whites, you're probably, it's like 135, 140 yard shot, but with the uphill, you got to add 2 clubs. Then you got the wind in your face sometimes, or the wind behind you. It's either in your face or behind you. What do you recommend to play that hole, or a hole that's that complicated?
Well, like you said, if it's into the wind, you have to definitely have to club up. You're clubbing up because it's uphill.
And that's a 2 or 3 club difference?
It just depends on how strong the wind is. That's just something, it's a judgment call.
If there's no wind at all, that kind of elevation change going uphill, you know, how do you decide how many clubs that you want to go up?
Well, I think it depends on how high you hit the ball. Hmm. I think it's a 1 club difference going up that hill. So from 160 yards, I would hit a 6-iron. I'd normally hit a 5-iron going up that slope. But you also want to think about the green itself. You don't want to be long there.
Mm-hmm.
So any kind of miss needs to be short, because at least you have a chance from short to chip and putt and get it up and down.
Yeah, but even if you're a little short, that thing's going to hit the edge of the hill, take one bounce, and just fall off to the right, and now you're down by the fence way below the hole.
No doubt a very difficult hole, but
it's not ranked as like the highest handicap hole on the course, though.
I think
it?
Purely because of the yardage. You know,
just
because
it's a par 3?
140 to 160 yards, depending on where you're playing from.
Yeah. Last time, I think that I stayed just on the fringe, but on the back fringe of the green. Plus, you don't necessarily want to attack the pin on that hole. You
right.
just want to get to the middle of the green as best you can.
And you always want to favor left.
Why?
because there's more forgiveness to the left side. Anything that hits from the middle of the green right is going to fall down that slope, and you're going to have a much more difficult chip.
On the front side of the green. But on the back side, if you go...
It's narrow there.
It's narrow, so you go a little bit, and now you're all the way on the back end again, and there's a big oak tree right there.
Never been there myself.
Well, let me tell you about that hole, Steve, because
it can happen.
You know, when you're on the other side of the green and you've got to come up, you want to take a nice high lofted club and just kind of float it up, but you can't because there's a tree there.
There's a big oak tree.
Yeah. Well, I hope you never do get to introduce yourself to that.
It's a difficult shot from long. No
it
doubt
really
about
is. It. Yeah. It really is. What's the best score at the course? What's the course record?
59.
Wow.
Felix Gudino shot 59, senior 59.
When?
Oh, God, it's been 15 years ago, probably.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
He's a very fine player, and he plays Indian Valley very well.
Clearly.
And, he's had a lot of close calls to that. He shoots a lot of 63s and 4s.
Wow. That's amazing.
Pretty strong golf.
What's your best run? At Indian Valley.
I'm trying to think about my best. I think probably about 66 or 7, which is good for me. I don't make a lot of birdies, but I don't make a lot of bogeys either.
And what are your issues if you're not making a lot of birdies?
Well, my strength is my tee shot. I drive the ball straight and not very far.
Okay.
Far enough, but not very far.
Uh-huh.
So I don't get into a lot of trouble. And I'm good with the short game. My iron play is probably my weakest part of my game, so I don't get into a lot of trouble.
And how many putts around do you put in?
Well, I played in a tournament last month where I had 31 putts the first round and 28 the second round, and 28's good.
Yeah.
I'll take 28 every time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, get me around the 30 mark underneath. I'd be very happy.
Absolutely.
Hate those three putts.
unless you're only hitting about three or four greens around. So,
well, right. And if you are coming up short, to be able to have enough of a short game to give yourself a 5 foot or less putt.
To get it up and down.
Yeah, that's the key.
That's
how you score. That's how you score. As a golfer, not as an instructor, but as a golfer, what's the best advice you've ever received about playing golf?
The best advice I've ever received. I think there's a lot of people who try to find that magic moment in their game that's just going to make them fixed and they're going to be able to just play better. And I think the patience that everybody needs to have, if you're making a little swing change, that you're patient on the golf course. If you miss hit a shot, you try to get it up and down, and you try to make it up on the next hole. There is a lot of patience involved, and the best players in the world can really exercise that, and they don't let their confidence wane and go up and down too much. I think that's probably the best advice I've ever gotten.
Do you give playing lessons as well? Just go out on the course with people? And
I do. I don't have the time to give too many of them, and I feel like if you're going to give a playing lesson, there needs to be something specific on the golf course that you need to work on, whether it's your strategy, it's stuff around the green, different lies around the green, or even just uphill, downhill, side hill lies that we were talking about. Those are things that you can't do on the driving range.
Right, exactly. What is glaring to you when you're out doing a playing lesson that you see just so common as a mistake?
Lack of knowledge of the short game is probably the biggest thing. I've worked with some really good players who don't understand the loft and the D loft and being able to get the ball up and down around the green, the basic mechanics.
And that would be the key to really scoring.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look at the average player that can hit a tee shot 200 yards and hit a second shot 180 or 190 yards. They're in that 50 yards to the green area that they need to make sure that they're one on the green almost every time or every time, and that they're in a range that they're going to have two putts maximum. That's a bogey golfer.
Right. And so that would be a beautiful thing for a lot of people.
It would be a really good thing for a lot of people.
Yeah. What I see a lot, and don't know how to, well, I don't offer any help because I'm in no position to do it. But what I see a lot is, especially on the short game, is people sweeping at the ball. They're not coming down. They're not, you know, trying to control it that way. Why do people just automatically think you just got to slide right under the ball and they don't get the hit the ball, hit the ground concept?
Well, I think down equals up in golf. So for the club to swing down, that sends the ball up. But psychologically,
doesn't make sense.
The golf game is played with the ball in the air. So most players are trying to get the ball in the air, help the ball in the air, and they're not allowing their club to be able to get the ball in the air for them. So, yeah, that's part of the mechanics. It can be simply ball position, and it could be, like you're talking about, it could be the angle of attack with their club, that it's not coming up and down enough to be able to get the ball airborne. But the simple mechanics of the short game, and then practice. And one of the faults that we have here in Marin County is we don't have a really good short game area. And we are creating that at Indian Valley down next to our driving range. We're going to have a nice short game area, a green with a bunker and some chipping area around it. And I hope that people will take advantage of it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I do to practice my short game when I come out, because your driving range is a hill. So I need to, we'll get to that in a minute about how accurate it is when you're hitting on there. But what I do is there's never a lot of people on the driving range. People don't just come out to Indian Valley just to go to the driving range. There's other places they'll go for.
We're trying to make it that way, though. We're trying to make it a little bit more of a destination practice area, but I agree.
Yeah. I mean, probably Peacock would be, you know, a destination practice area in this county. But what I do is, so generally when I go up there, there's only one or two guys, if any, up on the range. And what I do is I will just take a handful of balls and try to hit it to the mat. So because I can retrieve all my balls, but I'll just go, okay, this one's going to go to two mats. Now I'm going to just go to three mats and just try to see if I can just keep it, you know, whether it's a high shot or a low shot, just try to get it to each mat and see how accurate I can be on that.
Well, I think we're going to offer a nice little practice area, destination practice area.
That's great.
You can get your bucket of balls and you can go hit a few bunker shots and you can hit some wedges and then go up and hit the rest of your golf balls. So you're fully warmed up before you go out to the first tee.
Oh, that's great. That's really exciting. When do you guys think you'll have that open?
Soon, I hope. The grass is in there pretty good right now. It's up to the superintendent when he thinks it's ready to go, but hopefully soon.
Yeah, you've been doing a lot of work on the driving range over there.
We have. Yeah, the area right in front of the tee box has now been leveled, and that is now grassed as well. It won't be a grass hitting area, but cosmetically will look a lot better.
Yeah.
And realistically, when you go down to that driving range, if you're really working on practicing, then you're going to hit your 7, 8, 9 pitching wedge. You're going to hit your shorter clubs. If you're going down there to warm up, then you hit everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one or two swings with a driver, but mostly it's working on, because that is a warm up is my practice time. I don't get enough time to go out to a range, so I'll focus on my short clubs, and
it's where you're going to score anyway.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, but your driving range is on a hillside.
It is.
And you have flags up there and you're saying it's 150 yards. 150 yards, define the 150 yards when you're hitting it on a hill. I mean, is it actually a 150 yard shot or no?
Well, it's 150 yards, but whether it plays 150 yards, it depends on what kind of loft you're going at it with. For somebody who hits the ball pretty high, it's probably going to be fairly accurate. But for somebody who's not lofting the ball as much, it's going to feel like it's a long ways to that 150-yard marker. So it depends on the trajectory of your shot.
But when you're playing a hole like when we talked about on number 8, when you have an uphill shot that's, we'll call it 140 yards, you have to account for, the ball's going to, so when it's uphill, it's going to be a little bit longer than what it says. It's going to play a little longer, right?
Oh, yeah, it's going to.
Explain how that works for me for uphill and downhill and why you want to go, like, on number 5, the par 3 downhill.
Four.
The, par. Okay, number four. Right. You've got that one where it's 125 yard, except it's extreme downhill, so you're not necessarily going at it at 125.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors in golf besides just hitting the golf ball that you always have to weigh in on. The temperature. The ball's going to always go farther when it's warmer. The wind direction. The uphill and downhill and side hill lies, those always play a part. So when you're working on number eight, you're hitting it 140 yards up the hill. For me, that shot right there is probably a 7-iron because my trajectory is not real high. For somebody who hits the ball pretty high, they're probably not going to lose a whole lot there without any wind blowing. Mm. So it has to do with the trajectory of the shot. The hill's going to take some of the loft off of the shot hitting it up that hill.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. What is your specialty as an instructor? What do you focus on the most or think that you can help somebody the most with?
Well, I think I can help people with their full golf swing, but I think my specialty is probably with the putter or with the short game. I think I have a very good technique to teach the putting stroke. And I think that I have a really good technique that I've developed over time and tested and trial and tested with the short game, everything from little short pitch shots to 50, 30, 40, 50 yard wedge shots.
When I've gone into stores and asked a salesperson about, you know, clubs, they have distinct opinions and getting fitted on all the different clubs. But when you bring up a putter to someone like that, they'll go, you know, it's all about feel. It's all about how you feel. And when you start taking instructions, they'll start you with position, grip, and alignment. There's the basics of the full swing. And then, again, they come back. There's so many different ways to putt. How do you have a method of putting that you're able to transition somebody from what they were doing to what you feel is the correct way to do that?
Well, I think just like the golf swing, there are certain basic fundamental things that everybody needs to go through. You have to have a very sound fundamental putting grip, whether it's the traditional reverse overlap grip or whether it's left hand low or the pencil grip or the claw or whatever you like to do. You have to have a sound fundamental grip that does what your grip is supposed to do in the putting stroke, and that's to work together with your arms and to not break down at impact. I think you need to have a great setup position. You have to have good eye position, good ball position, good hand and arm position, because all those things take care of where the putter is going to swing. So if you have a good setup position and your body is ready, the putter will swing on your target line a lot easier than if it doesn't.
Dave Stockton was on a couple months ago, and he mentioned that, because I'm left hand low, and lag putting can be difficult for me. And he said, change your grip for the longer ones. What's your thought on that?
Well, that's probably very true because if you're a right-handed player playing right-handed, your right hand is your power supply. So if your right hand is basically taken out of the stroke by having left hand low, you don't have the same kind of feel in being able to roll the ball at longer distances. Mm-hmm. So I would agree with that.
Interesting. Well, I want a lesson. I want a putting lesson from you.
I'm here.
That would be a lot of fun because that's where I'm, you know, three putting can ruin your whole round. It can just get into your head and think you're having a terrible, you can be green and every fairway hit, every green in regulation, and you're three putting and worse, and you just become a miserable human being.
No doubt.
I suck. Because you can't putt.
There's no reason why a 15, 18 handicap player can't be a good putter.
And then they won't be a 15 or 18 handicap.
Then they'll be a
12.
Right.
Yeah, they can drop down to a 12 quickly with that.
That's true.
All right, well, I'm going to take you up on that. Because what do you think about the ruling on the long putters and attaching to the body or not attaching the body?
I have mixed emotions. I mean, I'm for anything that's going to make golf easier for people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the long putter, when it came out, it took players who had real problems with the putter and gave them a whole new feeling about playing golf.
Which is a good thing.
But I'm also a traditionalist. And I think the golf swing is what we're calling it. So the putter needs to swing. And in that kind of action, it's more of a pendulum attached to your body kind of situation. So your arms aren't normally swinging the putter. So kind of mixed emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will be some new things evolve. I think people will adapt, and we'll have people using the Matt Kuchar method and something that Bernard Langer did a long time ago, where he braced it to his arm and still swung his arms, and that's still going to be allowed.
Yeah, that'll be allowed. Okay, traditionalists.
Yes.
There's newfangled equipment all the time. The technology has changed so radically in the last 10 years as far as the materials used. Do you like that, or do you think we should go back?
Well, I think the USGA has a good handle on what's going to happen with the equipment and the golf ball. And they're only going to allow the golf ball to go so fast off the club.
Yeah.
So the golf ball is only going to fly so far. And they keep tinkering with the feel of it and the initial launch angle and the spin rate. And those kind of things will probably tinker with the ball a little bit. But the club material, that's probably something that will change over time. But the ball is only going to come off of that club face so fast.
Right.
So I don't see a whole lot changing there. I don't see marked changes. I think we're gonna have clubs that are going to be more forgiving. They're going to keep working on the hybrid idea and things that make golf a little bit more fun. But as far as distance goes, I don't think it's going to happen.
Just did a conversation with an author who wrote a book about the 1969 Ryder Cup. And we had it on just as the Ryder Cup was happening. And one of the things that fascinated me about reading the book was talking about how in the early 60s, there was a different size ball in the U.S. being used versus the one over in the U.K.
Right.
It was a little bit smaller, like 8/100ths of an inch smaller. Instead of making the holes bigger, if we made the ball smaller, would that help?
Actually, David Faraday is a fan of making the balls bigger.
Bigger?
Slightly bigger, which will reduce how far they go.
Why would you want to do that? Everything is trying to make a game longer.
Well, in trying to get an equal playing field and trying to make it to where the long hitters can't hit it 50 yards by you, making the ball slightly bigger will make the ball go a little bit shorter. I don't know if I'm a tremendous fan of that idea, but
isn't that why we have different tee boxes?
That is
so
true.
The long hitters can stand back there, and you don't have to play. And not everybody in your foursome has to play the same tee box. It's okay.
That's true, and I hope we're to the point now where we're not going to see Augusta National have to go to 8,000 yards, and you know, all of our local golf courses have to get longer and longer to make them viable, but.
But 98% of the players can't play those long courses anyway. I mean, to build courses just for the tour.
That's true. And I think, well, that was the ego build that we had for a number of years. And now I think we're much more reasonable about what the golf courses need to play like.
Uh-huh.
We have some golf courses in the area here that maybe were a little bit too hard when they were first built, a little too severe. And people play them a couple of times and say, I don't want to go back there. So now I think they're softening those courses up, and they're making it where it's a little bit more friendly,
mm-hmm.
and people will have a better time.
Yeah, they should. And most people shouldn't be playing the back tees anyway.
That's true.
Unless you're...
Me included. 60-year-old guys don't need to play 7,000-yard golf courses.
No, we don't. It's very funny. Well, Steve, it's so great that we finally got a chance to do this. I really appreciate you taking the time to come out and have this conversation with me. I've been waiting for a long time to do this. I've threatened you for years to do this.
Thank you for the invitation.
So thank you so much for coming. And I look forward to two things. One, seeing you out there every time I come out. And two, getting that putting lesson. I need the help.
I'll be glad to help you anytime.
Hey, I'm not going to talk much more about game golf, at least not here. On the course, completely different story. But I will tell you that game golf can improve your game. That the Golf Channel the PGA of America, Lee Westwood, Jim Furyk, and Graham McDowell are all investors in this company. That's got to say something. And that Golf Smarter members are the only people anywhere that can take advantage of an additional 10% off the regular price of $199. But I do want to share this. I've been having an email exchange with a frustrated Golf Smarter member, frustrated not about Golf Smarter, but about his game. He says he's tried everything to hit the ball longer and straighter. And as he's getting older, it's getting harder. You know, since I've been using the game Golf, I learned that I was coming up short on most of my approach shots. Now, with this added knowledge, I'm hitting more greens and consistently having lower scores, and I've definitely lowered my handicap. So I really advise you to check it out for yourself. This additional discount absolutely expires on November 1st, 2014. So go to golfsmarter.com, click on the Game Golf ad on our homepage, get all the answers you need, and make sure to use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.